Good morning and welcome to worship in Railway Street Presbyterian Church on Sunday the 6th of December. It's great to have you with us, folks. We send our greetings to all of you who are watching us live this morning online and those who will be listening to us on the telephone line in just a little while. Once again, we have a small team in Railway Street this morning. You'll see four of us in front of the camera and then there are four behind the camera operating all our technology today, and thanks to each and every one of them for the part that they are playing. Next Sunday, we look forward to welcoming many of you back for public worship. We're able to reopening the building for public worship next Sunday, so don't forget to register then for Sunday, the 13th of December. Today should have been our Christmas gift service. Obviously, things are going to be very different. It's still a family service. Stephen Woods is going to be leading us today. But as you know, those gifts have already been collected on behalf of the Belfast City Mission, and Roger Thompson would like, on behalf of the City Mission, to thank you for the generous donations received, which were as follows: 128 selection boxes, 32 large packets of sweets, £245 worth of vouchers and gift cards, and £806 in financial contributions, and that sum includes the gift aid. So thank you again for your generosity, folks. In regards to our service this morning, Stephen has asked me to say that he has uploaded templates of Christmas cards onto the church website. You should see a link to the right of the screen. He'll be using these during the service. So if you haven't already, families, we'd ask you to download and print these off now. There are six to choose from, or else just get a plain sheet of A4 paper, fold it in half, and get your colouring pens and pencils ready. The details of our Christmas services are in the December bulletin. You're going to need to register for all of those services. I know people are already registering for the carol service on the 20th, but could I make a couple of points? First of all, bear in mind, we can only accommodate about 140 in our meeting house currently. And once that maximum number is reached, we will then have to add people to a waiting list if the demand exceeds the number of seats. So it's vitally important if you register and then something comes up that you let us know so that those spaces can be allocated to others. We wouldn't want to be in a situation where we've empty seats because folks haven't come and they haven't let us know. So do let us know if you register and something comes up. I know many of you would like to attend all our Christmas services, but could I gently please say this? Please don't register for all the services at this stage, folks, because that could prevent other members of the church family being unable to get to any of them. So could we ask you at the minute, pick and choose the service you most want to attend. Leave space for others to attend the remaining services, but we'll continue to give you updates just on how those services are filling up. And if you don't have internet access, then from this week, you can register for any of our church services by phoning the church office at any time. It doesn't have to be in the mornings when Angela is there. You can phone at any time, leave a message on the machine, give your name, the service you're registering for, and how many seats you require. It's been suggested that we open our meeting house for private prayer during the course of the incoming week. It's hard to gauge the interest for that, but if you would be interested in being able to come down to the church for private prayer, I know some of you haven't been able to come back on Sundays because you want to avoid crowds, but if you like the idea of being able to come just for private prayer, maybe early in the evening, then send a message to me or send a message to hello@railwaystreet.org. And if we were going to do that, we would need at least two volunteers to be present in the building at all times. And if you'd be interested in volunteering, then please get in touch with us as well. And we'll take a decision on that sometime tomorrow when we see if there is interest for that. I've only six copies left. I'm happy to say I've only six copies left of our Advent devotional book. If you haven't received a copy, there are six printed copies left. There are digital copies too. Get in touch with me. I can deliver these to you or get in touch via hello@railwaystreet.org and we can get a digital copy to you. This is a great book. I know many folks are already enjoying it, and it's great that we've managed to get as many of them distributed as we have. I also still have three printed copies of the bulletin. So if anybody, for some reason, you haven't got a copy of the bulletin, let me know, and we'll get that to you as well. And then finally, elders, please remember that tomorrow is the first Monday evening in the month, and so there'll be a Kirk Session prayer meeting at 8 p.m., and the Zoom link for that will be sent out later. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and so we light our second Advent candle as a sign of our waiting and hope for the coming of the Lord Jesus. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The Lord will give you a sign. A young woman shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Let's join our hearts, unite our hearts and our minds together in prayer. And this is a prayer that featured in our Advent readings this week. It's adapted from Colossians chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you. You are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in you all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through you and for you. You are before all things, and in you all things hold together. And you are the head of the body, the church. You are the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything you might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in you, and through you to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through your blood shed on the cross. Amen. We unite together to praise God as Ian and Abby lead us in the song, "For unto us a child is born."
Good morning, folks. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. And just after Matthew gives us the genealogy of Jesus, he launches into his gospel with this Christmas story. Though not with the angel appearing to Mary, but appearing to Joseph. Verses 18 to 21. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and thank you for your word. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us day by day, week by week, through it. Speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit as we hear from you through it. Amen. Boys and girls, we're going to watch a short video now, which is a bit of a fun retelling of the Christmas story according to children. And as we're watching it, if you want to go and grab those Christmas cards that Michael announced earlier, or your sheet of paper and your colouring in pencils or pens, that would be great. Let's watch Christmas According to Kids.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, "This donkey's fast."
Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. That video was called Christmas According to Kids from Southland Christian Church in Kentucky in America. You can find it on YouTube if you want to watch it. Again, it was funny and it was cute, wasn't it, hearing those children tell a Christmas story. And this morning we're going to spend some time together thinking about Christmas according to us. What does Christmas mean to you, and what message is the one that you send out to others at Christmas time? We send out lots of messages at Christmas time, don't we? Sometimes through what we wear, sometimes through how we decorate our houses, but most of the time we send messages on Christmas cards to each other, don't we? And boys and girls, now is the point where I want you to take the sheet of paper or the cards that we asked you to get at the start of the service, because for the next minute or two, we're going to be thinking about Christmas cards. We're going to be thinking about what are some of the messages that we send on our Christmas cards that we're going to send to people this Christmas season. We use cards to send messages to our family, our neighbours, our school friends, to loads of people around us, to greet people, to cheer them up, but ultimately to send a message. Happy Christmas season's greetings. I wonder what messages you're going to put on your Christmas cards this morning. What messages do you send to your family or your work colleagues or your school friends or your neighbours at Christmas? What would you put on the inside or on the outside of this card? What are you going to use to tell other people what Christmas means according to you? And I hope during the service you have some fun designing those cards and thinking about those messages and getting creative. And feel free to colour those in and design them now throughout the rest of the message. And don't forget to send those designs into the Hello at Railway Street address so that we can see some of them and maybe put them on our social media accounts. The messages that we send out at Christmas, the message of Christmas according to us, sometimes aren't through what we wear or how we decorate our houses or even what we put on our cards. Sometimes the message that we send out about what we truly think of Christmas is how we act and how we speak and what our attitude is like in this Christmas season. The message we send out is through what we have time for or maybe don't have time for, through how we spend our money, through what we get passionate about. And I wonder what messages we're really sending out to those around us this Christmas. Often we hear this rhyme, and maybe you've already got it on your card. Something is the reason for the season. Something is the reason for the season. And I wonder how many of you, on the top of your Christmas card, would write that. You probably can't see it, but it says, being free is the reason for the season. Maybe for you, being free from school or from work, those 2 weeks off or a couple of days off are the reason for the season. They're the absolute best thing about Christmas. Those couple of days or couple of weeks have been sustaining you through work or school for the last few months. The thought of those days coming up has been what's pulled you through those difficult times, those busy times. I don't know if you've been watching I'm a Celebrity. We watched a few episodes of it, and it's so interesting how often they talk about food. How often they wondered about what's the first thing they're going to eat when they get out. They couldn't wait to have burgers or pizzas. And you could tell that the thought of that food was sustaining them through their journey in the castle. Maybe for you, being free, those 2 weeks off are what's sustaining you over those next few weeks. You just keep thinking about them. You tick off the boxes on your calendar. Being free for you is the reason for the season. Maybe you don't write that on your cards, but maybe that's what you're sending through your actions and your attitudes and your words. Maybe some of us, though, would say, Brie is the reason for the season. I'm absolutely gutted that we can't have our young adults Christmas dinner this year. We love that time of year where we get together in the hall out at the back here. Last year there was 35 of us, and we all brought different things. Some of us brought main courses, desserts, crackers. I always insist on bringing the cheese board, which a lot of us enjoy, but it's such a great part of our young adults calendar, and for a lot of us, the food is the absolute best thing about the Christmas season. And when we talk to others, we just say, I can't wait. My mother-in-law does the best turkey. I just love having stuffing. Food is the absolute best thing about Christmas. Brie, for you, is the reason for the season. Again, maybe we don't write it on our cards, but it's what the message that we're sending through our conversations, through our attitudes, through our actions. Maybe for you, the tree is the reason for the season. You just love decorating. I don't know about your streets, but my street this year just went all out with Christmas decorations. Every tree inside and outside is covered in lights. You just couldn't believe it when Michael said there wasn't going to be a tree this year, because for you, it's not Christmas if the place isn't decorated. Maybe for you, though, your message is shopping spree is the reason for the season. You just love buying gifts. You love receiving gifts. You love hitting the Boxing Day sales. I wonder what your reason for the season is. What message are you maybe not writing on your cards, but you're writing through your actions, through your attitudes, through your words? You're writing through what you get passionate about, what you're willing to fill your calendar with. What message are your work colleagues or your neighbors or your school friends reading from how you approach the Christmas season? When they look at you, what do they say is your reason for the season? What is the meaning and message of Christmas according to you? I don't know about you, but one of the most confusing messages I've received recently is from the government about the restrictions that currently are in place in our country. Sometimes they seem to say, well, you can do this, but you can't do this. But you can only do this if these scenarios are in place, but not if these ones are in place. You can meet in the park with this size of group, but you can only meet outdoors with this size of group. Sometimes it gets confusing. And my heart goes out to those people and businesses in our community that are really affected by these ever-changing restrictions, to the people that have been hurt financially, emotionally, and mentally by the uncertainty that these messages bring. One restaurant in Lisburn, in an interview with the BBC recently, said he didn't mind being closed. He understood the reasons and wanted to protect people. The problem was that the messages weren't clear. They were coming out at the worst times, and they were constantly being changed from what was once promised and prepared for. There was nothing wrong with the message. He understood the restrictions, but how the message was sent was wrong. The thing is, our message needs to be clear if we want people to listen. If they're not clear, What we want to say and what is heard are two different things. There's confusion, there's chaos. There's a lack of trust in the message that we're trying to share. So when the executive stood up and they told us one thing, but then they did another, the country lost trust. Our message and our actions need to match up if we want our message to come across clearly and be received well. So in the passage that we read in Matthew, the message of Christmas is really clear. We hear a message being sent to Joseph through an angel that shared the real meaning of Christmas. There was no confusion. The meaning of Christmas, according to the Bible, is that Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. The meaning of Christmas, according to the Bible, is that Jesus came into the world to save people from their sin. That message was slightly different than the one that the Israelites were expecting at the time. They were expecting the first part of the message: she will give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people. But they were expecting it to end with from oppression, from the Romans. But the angel was clear to Joseph: Christmas is bigger than that. She'll give birth to a son, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people not just from oppression of the Roman Empire, but from the far bigger and worse oppression of their sins. As Christians and as the church, the message that God wants us to reflect into the world is bigger than what we expect. The message is not being free is the reason for the season, or Bray, or the tree, or the shopping spree. It's that he is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus coming to save his people from their sins. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That was the message that the angel sent. That is the message of Christmas, a message far bigger than Bray or a tree or a shopping spree or even being free for 2 weeks. As Christians and as the church, the message that God wants us to reflect into the world this Christmas is that he is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason. God saving his people from their sin. And yet so often our message isn't clear. It's confused by lots of other things taking over. Those things being free, Bree, tree, spree. Things that are great, but they're far too small compared to the true message of Christmas. And here's the challenge for us today, folks. Yeah, we might think that we're sending a clear message with what we write in our cards or by going to church on Christmas Day. But are our attitudes and our actions and our words matching up with that message? Do we think we're sending that message clearly, but in reality, those around us are reading something completely different? Sometimes the message that we think we're sending isn't the one that's being received. And the true indicator of this is what fills our calendars at Christmas, what fills our conversations, what guides our spending. What do we get passionate about this season? What do we look forward to, and what do we see actually as a burden? If we struggle to make it to the service on Christmas morning because the turkey needs to go in the oven at 11 o'clock on Christmas Day or it'll be absolutely ruined, what's your reason for the season? If we struggle to stop and talk to our neighbour because we're in such a rush to the Boxing Day sales, because if we don't get that sweater, Christmas will be ruined, then what's your reason for the season? If we find it really fun and easy to buy gifts for those children in Belfast City Mission, and yet we walk past the homeless person in the street with a pompous sense of, you're not getting my money, go get a job, is that really a reflection of the love that God showed us as we celebrate Christmas? If we're going to Smith's Toy Store for stocking fillers for our friend's neighbour's nephew, and yet we find ourselves shopping in Poundland for our Belfast City Mission gifts, what message is that reflecting? I know times are hard, COVID has affected us, and I'm not saying that we need to be spending loads of money on all of these things, but what does it show us about our heart? Does it say that those children are worth less than these children? And yet in the Christmas story, Jesus was a child in need, born into poverty to a young couple with a dodgy story about a premarital pregnancy. And yet, the wise men lavishly spent their money on that child. Folks, as Christians and as the church, the message that God wants us to reflect into the world is that Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus came into the world to save people from their sins. Let me read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. It'll probably be well known to a lot of you. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, born into poverty, shame, and as a refugee, center stage of the marginalized, who needed the kindness of others to welcome him into their homes. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Folks, as Christians and as the church, the message that God wants us to reflect into the world is that Jesus is the reason for the season. The message of Christmas is that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. He lived and he died for you and for me, not for a tree or brie or a spending spree, not so that we could be free for 2 weeks, but free from sin and death and live eternally. What do we write in our Christmas cards or on a Sunday or on Christmas morning? What is our message? It's that Jesus is the reason for the season, but what do we write with our words and our actions and our attitudes this Christmas season? What message do we send through our wallets, our diaries, our car journeys, our dinner tables? Is it that Jesus is the reason for the season? Let's pray. And in doing so, we're going to spend some time praying for those around us this Christmas. Lord, we thank you for the joy that this season brings. Yes, we love food, fun, freedom. We love decorating our houses, and we love the gifts. But we know that the true, the bigger meaning of Christmas is the good news of your Son coming into this world to save people from their sin. And we thank you for that. We pray that that message would be our reason for the season, that that truth would guide our words, our actions, our attitudes, our wallets, diaries, and the whole season. Lord, this week has brought more great news of a coronavirus vaccine being run out throughout the country. We've been praying for this vaccine for months now, and now that it's finally here, we are so grateful. What a miracle that something that usually takes up to 10 years has been done in under a year. And thank you that you answer our prayers. We pray for the rollout plan across our country and the people involved in delivering it. We ask that your hand would guide that plan and protect those on the front line. Once again, we thank you for those in our church family who are working on the front line and pray that you would continue to protect them, sustain them, and reassure them. We pray that their holidays this Christmas would be even more relaxing, even more joy-filled, and even more refreshing than ever before. We ask that you be with those businesses in Lisburn that have been closed and affected so much. As they open up, we pray that you would keep them and their customers safe. We pray that you would help them bounce back quickly and get the support they need to thrive. Lord, at Christmas, we remember a child in need receiving support from the wealthy. Jesus, born into a life of poverty, received support from those in Bethlehem who gave him shelter and those wise men who visited with gifts. That child in need receives support from the wealthy. And this Christmas, we pray that you would be with those in need in our society. Through the Food Bank and Belfast City Mission, who we support at this service, we pray that you would support those families in need and bring some joy at Christmas. We pray that through their work, they would share the good news of Jesus and people's hearts would be open to it. We pray that you would help us as a congregation use our wealth wisely. And Lord, at Christmas, we also remember that Jesus spent his early years as a refugee away from his home in a foreign land. Help us remember those who tonight will go to sleep unfed and unwelcome. Strangers in foreign lands, people who have fled for their lives and are far from their homes, who are distant from loved ones and long to be reunited with brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, mums, or dads. We lift up to you those who are escaping persecution and conflict, having fled death, torture, or ruthless exploitation. Give us compassionate hearts for them. Give us wisdom in how we can respond as a church and as a nation. Lord, you're a God who identified himself at Christmas with the marginalized and not with the powerful. Help us do the same. Amen. We're going to join together in praise now as we sing the song In the Bleak Midwinter. Thank you so much, Ian and Abby, and to all of the guys at the back and on the cameras. Don't forget to send your Christmas cards in to hello at railwaystreet.org. We would love to see them. And we hope to see you next week. But before we go, now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.